Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. Welcome to Hey, Jeff, aka Hey, Julie. Hi, a podcast about Survivor, Big Brother.
I like Borat. To switch it up.
Thank you. It was good. Like, maybe we should just be called, maybe like the next version of the show is Hi, Julie. Hello. Maybe it's Hello, Julie. Maybe we have a colder relationship with Julie. A more professional.
We're keeping our arms distance.
Yeah, let's have boundaries. I don't need you texting me at 9 p.m. on a Friday about if I've read the good book or if I've heard the good news. Right. Let's be coworkers. Let's not be friends.
And not friendly coworkers. Like, we say hi when we pass in the hall, but we don't have lunch together.
Here's how you know you have a semi-testy relationship with a coworker. Let me know if you feel the same way. When you Slack the person and you're like, hi, Danielle. Hyphen, yeah. You get to the point. You have to still start with a greeting, even though it's like, you know who it's coming from. Who it's coming from. It says it's a messaging platform. You know who it is, but you still have to start with the, hey, Danielle, can you do X for me? Or, hey, I need you to do Y. Meanwhile, someone you're tight with, you just Slack them like, this is fucked up.
Or like, where's the file?
Where's the file?
Just like, give it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are the deliverables?
With Julie, I'm like, hi, Julie. Hey, you know, if you have a moment, can you please
tell us? Hope you had a great weekend.
Yeah. Can you please send us a picture of what you're wearing Thursday night? Standards and practices needs to see.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Well, Brett.
Yes.
Well, Brett.
Yes,
another Danielle. Week has passed. And I feel that Survivor has been in the discourse a little bit in a way that I preemptively was, where people are talking about Survivor. And you know what they're saying? They're saying,
many people are saying,
oh, was Survivor on last night?
Many people
That's
are
what
saying.
The discourse is. People are forgetting. And it's all over. It's on Twitter from big time influencers, and it's in our Discord. People are forgetting that Survivor was on. Did I forget Survivor was on Wednesday? But I watched it on Thursday.
You
I
never did watch it Survivor on Wednesday. You never watch Wednesday Survivor. You're Thursday.
I don't get it live.
Yeah, exactly. Let's do it live. You can't. I live across the lake.
But I did. I think we should have like maybe a new running thing on our show should be like, did Danny watch Survivor? And this week I did.
That's every episode of the show is did Danny watch
so far,
the namesake?
So far I did. I did watch it. And I really made an effort. I just want everyone to know. I actually made a really big effort this week. I put my phone down during the show. I only checked my phone during the commercials.
I think it's actually more likely that you don't watch Big Brother because there's only one episode of Survivor per week. So you're either 100% or you're 0%. Big Brother, there's many chances. There are many chances to skip.
Yeah.
And I think it's more likely that you hit 100% per week on Survivor and like somewhere between 30 and 60% on Big Brother.
I feel like I deserve accolades for watching the show that we're supposed to be watching and podcasting about.
I have a take.
Yeah.
Survivor this week was good.
You know what? I was like, you know what? I'm not even craving to look at my phone that much. I agree. I also enjoyed watching it. I thought it was pretty good. I thought paying attention kind of paid off. When we got to Tribal, and I took a good look at all the people together, I was like, oh my God, how are there so many people left? And there are so many people. They just merged in this episode.
We're also halfway through the season. They usually do 13 episodes. This was episode 6, I believe.
There's a lot left. But he did say in the like next week preview that two people are getting voted off next week. Yeah. And I cheered. I was like, yes, get them out of here. We need to speed this up.
We need more of the group tribals with everyone playing individually. Like I find the team, the tribe portion of the game pretty boring. I want to see everyone there. I want to see everyone there fighting for themselves. I don't want to, I'm not crazy about the dynamic of like, do we keep the strong person in our tribe and we have to vote out the weak person because we need to win next week? It's like, okay, do 2 weeks of Banu business and like, let's move on. And we got it. And it's, the usual
thing. Well, even in this episode, they put it off. They had the thing where it's like, we're actually going to divide you into two teams and you're going to do that competition. And then the winner of that competition gets to still come and vote, but they're not going to be eligible. It's like, come on now.
I'm used to that at this point. Like, of all the complaints at this point, it is what it is. This is the fifth season they're doing this. This was a huge episode for me personally. Because inside every man lives two wolves. Mm. And I have two wolves inside of me. And one of them is Mariah and one of them is Venus. The two different pieces of my personality. A nerdy girl and a hot girl are both the types of person I am on the inside.
So I want to preface my next question by saying I did watch the episode and I strongly paid attention. But
I think there's a butt coming up. Is there a butt coming?
I forget. Why did they vote out Mariah?
I'll tell you why.
Why did they end up voting her out?
I'll tell you why. Okay. So a few things happened. The episode begins. Mariah is at the bottom of the green tribe. She was left out of the vote to vote out Jem. I was like, I forgot her name for a second. I was like, I forgot the name of my favorite player from Survivor 46 already. Shows you how things are going in my mind. And this is demeaning for our girl, Mariah. They merge, but they're all like, you know what? Let's all say as a green tribe that we voted unanimously. And that Mariah was like, we gotta stay green tribe strong. I refuse to learn the names of the tribes. We gotta stay green tribe strong. Yeah, come on. unless they call them like Team Alpha Dog.
Team Spaghetti.
Team Cannon.
Yeah.
So they're pretending to be like really cohesive, even though Mariah is like clearly on the outs.
Yeah.
And eventually that breaks in the tribal council. Meanwhile, on the other side, the orange tribe, they're like, yeah, we're pretty tight as a tribe, except for Venus. We all hate her. And we all should just get rid of her if you have to. We would prefer that you keep all five of us, but if you have to, please, she's playing super hard. She'll talk to anybody.
I have a side question.
Okay, yeah.
After you answer why Mariah got voted out.
I'll explain why. Okay. It was this Venus versus Mariah thing. And I love Venus. Thank God she stayed. Thank God she stayed.
Venus Envy, Philip G in the chat says, it is Venus Philip Envy.
She's always here.
We all want to be Venus. She's young, gorgeous. She's smart. Playing hard. She's Canadian.
Here's what happened in my mind. I'm watching the tribal, and there's clearly a Venus versus Mariah thing. Which one are we going to vote out? And to be honest, I thought Venus came across, again, this is from a Venus fan here. I thought Venus kind of came across like a fool in the tribal council. And Mariah came across like we saw like a side of Mariah where I was like, holy shit. I mean, I kind of liked Mariah too. Like, again, inside of every man, two wolves. I have two wolves. They're named Venus and Mariah. I kind of liked her. But there was like a new level of gameplay from her, how she spoke to people this episode. And I was watching the two of them, and I love Venus, but I was watching that tribal council, and I was like, holy shit, Mariah's like, she's brought the guns. She's like here to fucking play at this tribal council. And if me just watching that objectively, for some reason, I thought it was just like a done deal. Venus was going home. I had even kind of been like, I was on Twitter that night and I had seen Venus's name pop up a few times and I was like, oh gosh, she must be going home. And the way the episode is building, it's so Venus, Venus, Venus. I think there was a great moment from Tiffany earlier in the episode. It's like, Mariah is really, really smart. And I think Tiffany says about Venus, Venus is shiesty. Like you can deal with shiesty. I know what shiesty is. Smart.
Right.
I can beat shiesty. I can play around that. I don't know if I can beat someone who's so much smarter than me. And I think that's ultimately what it came down to. And I think Mariah almost played Tribal Council too well. Seems like most people really wanted Venus out, including Q, who I'm like becoming more and more of a fan of. Like, I don't know if he's going to win the game, but I kind of like his energy. Yeah. He's like,
I do too.
Yeah. He's kind of playing really hard. He's kind of like, he's emotional. He's like threatening to quit.
He's a good confessional.
Yeah.
He's like a confessional king. Yeah.
Exactly. He's a good survivor character. And he's doing all this work to save Venus. And Venus, when she hears the plan that it's going to be Mariah instead of her, she's like, that's stupid. We should vote out Charlie, the Taylor Swift boy.
Yeah. And he was like, I did like that. It was like, not a good plan. But no, I appreciated saying, where she was coming from.
Exactly. Instead of her being like, great, sounds good. Let's be team. Let's be buddies. That's a good plan. She tries to blow it up and start this other third worst plan, which pisses
you
off
know
Q.
Why?
And yeah.
Because she was a true Hey Julie brethren in saying, I'm sick of hearing this guy talk about Taylor Swift and trying to use Taylor Swift's name. Get him out of here. He's a fake ally. Get him out of here.
Please, Taylor Swift fans. Danielle said that. Brett did not say that.
But
I would never.
Well, my side question, though. Here's my thing. My side question is about Venus. So like, yeah, they all kind of merge and get to know each other. But before they do, by the way, side note, there was like, what's his name? The would-be doctor, Hunter. He has to like go look under some steps for the key to the box or whatever before they leave the island. Yeah. But as he's doing it, Soda and Venus are like bickering over something. That they're like was fighting.
Amazing. He's explaining like, this stuff. And they're and I forgot. I didn't write. I wrote that they were fighting about. I didn't write what the words were, but it was just great. It was so.
I actually
amazing.
Hope those two are like the final two because I just enjoy their like bickering relationship so much. But so akin to that, they merge, and so everyone's together. Everyone gets to meet Venus for the first time, like get to know her more. And what they say is like Venus has such an amazing social game, and that's why she's a threat, right? So she, but everyone hates her. So everyone I'm like, what hates, do they do? That's my
everyone
question.
Everyone hates her because she's hot. And because she kind of has like bogus, she kind of has like bogus strategy ideas in the game.
But it was like, it came so out of nowhere. I feel like more than one person said like, oh, we got to get her out because she's just such a strong social player. I was like, what? Everyone hates her. What are you talking about? Strong social player. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm blanking on her name right now. I can probably pull it up, but there was, there's one player from some of the more kind of classic, like middle period seasons, who was this like gorgeous Brazilian woman. if anyone in the chat remembers her name, she was like very beautiful. She had a horrible attitude, like perhaps one of the worst, like just attitudes, like just like life attitudes you've ever seen. Just like how she approached everything was just like negative and mean and didn't like anybody, and like anyone who talked to her was an asshole or this or that, always talking about behind people's backs. And this is not Venus, but it's like, because I like Venus a lot more. I can tell like Venus is a good person. Like I don't know if this other the other woman is a good person IRL. Abby Maria, I think was her name. And she was kind of, she came back on like a returner season, was kind of like a villain sort of thing. And it was the same thing. It was like, well, Abby has such a good social game. Yet her only qualities were that she was hot, Brazilian, and incredibly mean to everybody.
But it's like such a scapegoat. This is another good comment from Philip G in the chat. In quotes, we had to ostracize her because of her amazing social game. It's sort of similar. I don't know. It kind of reminds me of Taylor from BB24. like how everyone ostracized her.
Yeah.
Even though it was sort of like, she's just kind of hot.
That's
she's beautiful. She's very hot, but like.
That's actually a much better, that's a much better comparison for Venus than Abby Maria, who is like a true villain. Like,
was she? I don't remember her at all.
This is a person who, if you were standing next to Abby Maria in line at Starbucks, you'd be like, this is a villainous person. Like, she would just like start yelling at the barista or
whatever. I love a villain.
Yeah. I like a villain on TV. Like, my sense of Abby Maria was that she was she'd be someone who would like actually yell at the airport counter, like at the gate. Oh, okay. Like the plane's delayed and it's like, the person standing at the gate, yeah. Like, what do they fucking do? Like,
yeah.
They control the wind. Are they even the pilot? No, they're just like there. Anyways.
Right. Now I'm being reminded. Travel with me on my journey of remembering this episode of Survivor. Wow. Because like I'm remembering. They were like, also Mariah brought up that player. She brought up Isabel. Was that her name? Yeah, Mariah brought up a player and was like, I'm kind of like Isabel. And then that set off alarm bells for everyone too. Yeah. That's also why they wanted to vote her out. Because they were like, oh, wow, Isabel was a genius. So if she's like Isabel, then she's a genius and we have to vote her out. And now I'm remembering.
When I go on Survivor or Big Brother and they're like, Brett, well, who do you fashion your game after? I'm going to be like, fucking Chicken George.
Yes, I know, right? I was like, I'm gonna say Andre the Giant, like just some big dumb lunk.
Like, and they're like, I can forget about Brett. He's not trying to win the game. He's trying to eat chicken wings and fart.
Not that I remembered. Yeah. I would Uno reverse that so hard too. Go. I would be like, oh, I like if she said, because I didn't even know who the hell Isabel was. I didn't know who she was talking about. But if they ran with it and were like, oh, well, she was a genius. You must be a genius. I'd be like, only a super fan would know who she was.
Oh, so clearly you. Yeah,
exactly. You're the real threat. We should get you out.
I'd be like, who do you model your game after? I'd be like, I don't know. I've never seen the show. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I am right now.
Exactly.
I don't know. That's the best way to do it. I don't know what network this is on.
I don't know anything about it. I don't know how to start fire. Yeah.
I haven't consumed linear media since 2002. So
I read Dickens. That's it. Just Dickens. Lots of Charles Dickens. There's a guy on this season who I know has had screen time, but every time I see him, I'm like, there's Mr. Vest. Because I don't remember.
Ben, the rocker dude. He rocks.
Well, his name is Mr. Vest. So, see my vest. So he was wearing a leather vest on the beach. So now that's his name.
It's definitely a choice. Like, man, it must stink. Especially, it must physically stink.
Literally.
When you're like... auditioning for the CBS reality show and your personality trait is like listens to Van Halen. And then like you get cast and stuff and the like producer, like the costume, like the designing producer, whatever they want to call it, production designer calls you up. Hey, Ben, we're putting together everyone's like costume for the show. What clothes you got? And Ben's like, cool, well, I'm going to be sleeping in the jungle for 40 days. I'll bring some REI stuff. I'll bring like some breathable underwear. And they're like, Ben, you are a rocker. How about a leather vest? You have a leather vest that you don't mind getting ruined?
It's so true. Because like they've had in the past, people like wear blazers because it's like I'm like a law.
I'm a
lawyer.
Businessman. I'm a lawyer who got abandoned on this island.
Of course, I'd wear my blazer. You're right. You're right.
If you're
right.
A lawyer, don't you probably have like thousands of dollars worth of like Patagonia outerwear to bring?
Also, I'm realizing I'm kind of contradicting myself because this is another conversation we're having on the Discord and that we had last week where I'm like, I'm actively fighting against the nerdification of culture and Survivor. And there's nothing more like tough and O'Doyle rules than wearing a leather vest. So like, actually, I'm a bit, I take it back. Like, I love the leather vest. I love Mr. Vest. And I'm proud. He's actually my favorite now. I hope he wins.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel there is that kind of archetype of like, I'm feeling very confronted by the this archetype that's been on last most recent seasons. There was a guy who was kind of like this a season or two ago. I forget his name. Obviously, where it's just like 36-year-old man who like rocks. And he's like,
who rocks or who rocks out?
Both.
Okay.
Both. And he's just like, the other guy, I forget what his name was. He was less of like a rocker, but he had like a rocker energy and he like got a raspy voice. He's like, yeah, I love to party, dude. Like, kind of like 36-year-old party dude with like a like youthful, washed up party he has like dude. A youthful energy, but like, yeah. Should you be partying?
Over the hill.
Should you be partying? Should you have a family, sir?
Wow.
I feel confronted with those. By it. Yeah. I feel like sometimes they're pointing a mirror at me and I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
Should I have a family by now? Should
no,
I
No, you should be I at the punk rock show.
Should I stop rocking? I no, am going never stop to, rocking. I am going to like a kind of punk rock show in June in 2 months.
See? If you were cast on Survivor, they'd be like, Brett, we love who you are, but like, can you make sure they'd make you wear like this t-shirt first of all, but also you'd have to wear like a fedora or something because they'd be like, no. You're a film no. bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you're do film bros oh, wear?
We're going to get into film bro, Brett, later in this podcast. I assure you like, that is on the docket.
What do they wear? Okay. We need your like, boots you, on I'll the ground.
I will
tell you.
I mean, we can get away from Survivor, but I did go to Quentin Tarantino's New Beverly Theater this week. So I saw so many film bros. I saw it was disgusting being at a place like that because it was like.
Maybe it would be a leather jacket.
No, I don't have a leather jacket. I'm thinking that I should maybe, but I should say that the concert that I'm going to is a 20th anniversary concert of an album. So literally everyone there will be over 35 years old.
20 years wasn't that long ago.
It was when I was 20.
In high school.
It was when I was 20
years ago.
Yeah. The album came out in 2004.
What is it? Postal Service?
I saw the Postal Service last year, Danielle. You know that.
So what is it? Why don't
it say anything?
We're on the edge of our seat.
It's the 20th anniversary of Is a Real Boy, the Say Anything album.
Oh.
The best Say Anything album.
They'd be like, oh my gosh, you know what's a fun archetype that we haven't seen yet? Like someone from the MySpace scene who has not grown out of it, like emo. Oh my gosh, if they were like, Brett, we'd love to cast you. We love that you go see these old bands in concert, but you need to wear eyeliner and like super skinny jeans and plaid, neon plaid.
I never wore eyeliner unless it was designed for me in a theatrical production.
Yeah, there you go.
In which case I have one.
There are lots of archetypes. Brett, there are so many archetypes they could cast you as. They could cast you as the rocker, the theater boy, the film boy.
Bro, yeah.
Crypto, yeah, there are a lot.
Crypto hater.
Crypto hater. Ben McKenzie, essentially.
Who's Ben McKenzie?
He played Ryan on the OC, and he's like one of the biggest anti-crypto guys around.
Oh, yeah, he hates crypto.
He's the anti-crypto. He's the face of anti-crypto. It's like an incredible change of pace, but very amusing. Very good for him.
We have anything else on Survivor? We got like
no. I mean, I thought I should have. I really thought I would have because I truly watched this episode so hard.
I do. I have one thing. Can you eat a whole bag of chili lime chips from Trader Joe's?
Oh yeah, that part I know. It was like, yeah, I love to take my kids to a coffee shop. And then the other line was, can I eat a whole bag? No, I can't. There are lots of things from Trader Joe's I can eat a whole thing of. The peanut butter cups, the chocolate peanut butter cups. Don't let me near those.
I don't go to Trader Joe's enough. But that was a good moment, is the tribe is kind of pre-merged. They're merged. They're all hanging out. And everyone's like talking about bullshit. Everyone's like, love to go to a coffee shop. Love Taylor Swift.
And some of them couldn't handle chips. It because it was like the one, pardon?
Love to eat chips. Love, you know.
Yeah, so, I love to eat chips.
Great.
Yeah. So they had different philosophies, which was actually kind of interesting to hear about the fact that like one of the tribes was so dead set on not talking strategy while another one was like dying to talk strategy. Yeah. It was like, oh, it's interesting how they do in such a short amount of time have their own specific culture to their team. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we don't have to talk about Survivor
anymore. No, I like the punchline or like the button on that moment was, they're all talking about bullshit and Q is there and Q needs violence. Q is like, yeah, I want to chop some heads off. I need to learn dirt. I came here to play. And everyone's talking about what chips they like and what their Spotify playlist is. And he was just like, especially the folks on the Purple Tribe, like they all come and they're just like metaphorically covered in blood. And the other people are like, hey, how's it going? We have an espresso machine.
He's literally what we were just talking about, Brett. He's the guy at work who's like, where are the deliverables? Pleasantries. Just like, give me the stuff.
I went into a Q Wikipedia hole, actually. He's like the second best like realtor in Tennessee or something like that. So if you need a house.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, look him up.
Had a short career. Didn't really play much at Ole Miss.
He was D1, football. Right?
Yeah, he was at Ole Miss, which is like a D1 big school, but he didn't really play that much.
Ole Miss.
I went to his football.
Pig-Suey?
That's Arkansas.
Arkansas. Sorry.
Ole Miss Rebels. I went to his football reference page and I literally looked at like how many snaps he played. So things that I do. I could be sports guy.
But they'd make you wear like a jersey. They'd make you wear your jersey.
Hey, I love the Dodgers. Sports. I love watching sports. How you doing? Me winning Survivor would be a home run.
And you'd have to compare everything to like, this is just like when Barry Bonds hit that ball.
Name one sport, Danielle.
Didn't you? Barry Bonds is a good reference. Come on. Yeah,
he did hit. He did hit many home runs. Perhaps
he was hitting dingers.
Too many. Perhaps too many. Perhaps he was artificially enhanced.
Oh, aren't they all? Aren't they all at this point?
He was really. He was like.
Oh, too much. Oh, now we're drawing a line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Do it, but I don't want to notice you doing it.
Right. I don't want to know about it. It's like parents. Like, yeah, you can drink underage, but I don't want to hear about it. Yeah, I don't want to see it.
Not in my house. Okay.
Okay. Let's talk about something else.
Film nerds. How about that? Film nerds. I went to Quentin Tarantino's New Beverly Cinema this week. I caught a double feature of Fincher. I saw...
Double feature Finchy.
One and a half Fincher movies this week. I saw Social Network 2010, followed by...
Greatest movie ever.
That movie, I'll just say this. That movie fucking rips, bro. That movie so good. I've seen this movie 20 times, 25 times. I've seen this movie a lot. I probably hadn't seen it in 5 or 6 years. And man, full packed house, everyone excited. And that movie... just moves. It's cool. The music is amazing and like it's like a driving beat of this movie. Like it's a movie about like a fucking loser who decides to invent the biggest loser website in the world. And it's like it's like a rock show. It's not like a rock show. It's like a sorry, I messed up on my stupid audio. It's like a techno concert. It's just like this Trent Reznor music. It's a driving movie. It's funny as all hell. Jesse Eisenberg is great. Double Army Hammer is great.
Career best. Yeah. Career best. Career best for everyone involved.
Basically.
I mean, everyone.
Sorry. No, go for it.
I would just say one thing I really love about Social Network upon repeated viewings, because the Social Network was the blueprint for so many movies about current day people. You know, like an event is hardly over and now they're planning a movie about it, right? Like this happens constantly now, but this I think was one of the first of its kind. It also was incredibly influential in how trailers are cut and how the type of music used in trailers.
The sad girls choir singing by Radiohead. Iconic.
Yeah, exactly.
Iconic.
I think, I might be wrong, I think Fincher cuts his own trailers, but I might be wrong.
He must.
One thing I really appreciate about this movie that has been completely lost by all other, or most other movies that try to be like it, is that it actually had such a very clear point of view in saying that Mark Zuckerberg is a fucking loser, and he's a nerd, and he's making everyone's life worse, and it's just because he sucks. He sucks, and he's always going to suck. And I just loved that it was a very clear point of view. And it was, and it's true, and it was right, and it's still right. And people like this suck.
The interesting thing about this movie, 15 years later now, is, I mean, I think probably Facebook probably has like a billion more users than it did at the end of like the movie ends, and it's like Facebook now has 500 million users, and Mark Zuckerberg is the youngest billionaire in the world, and you're like, man, shit got worse. Like, shit got so much crazier for Facebook. Like, if there is a movie that needs, like, the 20 years later sequel, it actually is Social Network of, like, weird reclusive billionaire Mark Zuckerberg trying to, like, invent AI and invent VR, like, virtual reality, while simultaneously being, like, hounded by Congress and stuff while the Winklevi are off like being crypto bros or whatever and like going on Joe Rogan's podcast and stuff like that. I don't know like what their dramatic arc is, but that's for you, Aaron Sorkin, to figure out, you know?
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Me. What are you doing lately? I'm an ideas man. I just come up with like very basic ideas and then I walk away. I'm like Rick Rubin in that way.
Yeah.
But the one thing that's interesting about it is like 15 years later, there were very younger folks in the audience, like not people who were like seven, but like there were people. I'm at this theater and to get into like the nerd bro thing, it was filled with like young film people, young film students, young people very loudly talking about how they are in film school right now. I'm in Los Angeles. People come here to like become directors and stuff. And it's like, they're all, from all the conversations I overheard, they're all losers and they all don't know anything about movies at all. But like,
well, they're there to learn. They're there to learn from the best. No,
well, they are absolutely. And Fincher is one of them. But I think the one thing that's going to be, the movie still is awesome, but the one thing that maybe like, you know, if some Gen Z person who's 20 years old or Gen Alpha, I don't even know which one it is, watches this movie now and they're like, say you're 16 years old and you watch The Social Network right now. Do they understand what a big fucking deal Facebook was? Because now they're watching it and they're like, Facebook? Oh, the thing that my aunt is on and she sends me like AI pictures of Jesus? You know,
like Jesus as a shrimp.
like that I'm not on because I use Snapchat only or I use TikTok only or, you know, some combination of those two. Like, people don't understand what a thing this was. And you and I are honestly a couple years younger than Zuck himself. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's like 2 years older than me. Like, the events of this movie happen mostly in like 2004. I started my freshman year of college in 2005. And I remember in 2004, some of my friends who were a year older than me from high school, they're talking to me, you know, they come back for Christmas vacation or whatever. And they're like, I'm on this new thing called Facebook. You cannot get it right now unless you have a .edu. And it's like, this shit was wild. And I don't know if people, the movie does a good job of conveying that, like, this is an exclusive thing. It's so cool. It was cool.
A cool thing.
It's so cool. You're posting your pictures. You're posting your relationship status. What a time to be alive. Now it's like
it old. Was.
It's lame. Facebook, you kidding me? But it was really cool. And the movie rocks.
I mean, it's a little, well, I'm sure there's something, or maybe there'll be something that captures the same feeling, but like there was nothing like coming back to your dorm, like freshman or sophomore year, and like friending that that guy you met at the party Facebook, maybe sending them a poke.
Like, I never poked. I don't poke on the first date.
Or like untagging the unflattering pictures that people put up of you, being like, okay, well, I see who's a true friend. Not you. If you tagged me in that.
I don't have a Facebook. You don't either, right? You got rid of your Facebook.
I deleted before, after college.
Before I got rid of mine. But there's still like there must be dozens, if not hundreds, of pictures of me on there. And it's like you would like hover over the face and a little box pops up and it's like, that's Brett Rader. And now it's just like, I don't know. All these people I went to like high school and college with, they're like, oh, maybe Brett died or something like that.
No, they know. From your famed podcast, Julie, they know you're alive and kicking.
Our podcast, Salutations, Julie.
So what about Panic Room?
Okay, so here's the thing. Social Network started at 7:30. They play a little short before the movies. I will say that my favorite part of the night. They played a animated Mr. Magoo short before the movie.
Okay.
That shit was so fucking funny. It was unbelievably funny. Just like Mr. Magoo, he's old and he's blind. Amazing.
Oh, and I didn't realize Mr. Magoo was blind.
What?
I didn't know that. I didn't think he's blind.
He's incredibly hard of seeing.
Okay. Like he's like, what's her name from the Brady Bunch? Like should be wearing her glasses, Jane.
Yeah, like this one thing, like the first scene in this short, he's like, I don't know the relationship he has. He has like a houseboy or whatever, and the houseboy is like doing chores, and there's a big stack of money on the table, and he's like, oh, Steven, eating a large salad, I presume. Oh, it's always good to eat a salad or whatever. And it's like, Mr. Magoo, that's your stack of money that you're taking to the bank today or whatever. And he's like, oh, yeah. It's not like every joke is that he literally cannot see what's going on.
I'm having a brilliant idea. Live action, Mr. Magoo, starring Bradley Cooper.
He would
Cooper as Magoo.
He would chew it up.
Bradley Cooper is Magoo. I picture the poster.
Fans, make it.
I don't even know what Mr. Magoo looks like, but like he'd be a great Mr. Magoo. Mr. Magoo's a cartoon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so you loved the short.
So anyways, there's a short. They play some previews for other old movies and stuff. It's a fun night that they put together. So the Social Network ends at like 9:55, and then Panic Room 2003, starring Jodie Foster, directed by David Fincher, also starring Forest
and
Whitaker,
a young
Kiki Stewart.
Yeah.
That starts a few minutes after 10. And I will just say this. What would you do? What would you do, Danielle, if you bought tickets to a double? What would you do? I know exactly what you would do. You did the same thing that most of the audience did, including my friends who I went to see the movie with. Once the credits started rolling on Social Network, they left.
Yeah. I would have bought for that late anyway. I would have gone to the matinee.
No, well, it's the new Bev. They do one showing a day. They do a double feature at like 7:30 p.m. most weeknights. And then on Friday nights, Saturday nights, they do midnight shows. And then on like Saturday mornings, Sunday mornings, they do like one matinee. It's not a regular movie theater. It's for film nerds only. It's the new Bev. Yeah. It's for film nerds only. And so I would say 2/3 of the audience left immediately after Social Network. I stuck through. And I was like, I want to watch Panic Room. I want to see how I'm going to do. And I got to about 11 p.m. and there was another hour left of Panic Room. And I was enjoying it because the movie is really good. But could I have survived another hour? Absolutely. But I made a choice in my mind. I would prefer to leave here at 11 and kind of be in bed by midnight rather than leave here at midnight and be in bed by 1. I got work tomorrow. This is a Thursday night, babies. I got work. Yeah. I got calls to do. I got to do stuff. So that was my night out on the town.
Well, it sounds fun. I love Panic Room. I think it's so fun, so tight. Love that house. The house is great.
I did want to watch the opening of the movie because I hadn't seen it in a long time. And I knew exactly what was going to happen. I honestly haven't seen it since it came out, which is like over 20 years ago at this point. I knew exactly what was going to happen. They were going to go to the house and someone was going to explain where everything was in the house. And then the robbery was going to start, which is exactly what happens. The first scene, they're seeing the house. The realtor and the broker for the house are like, here's the kitchen. Here's the bathroom. Here's the panic room. Here's how everything in the panic room works. Here's the security cameras. Here's the secret telephone. And then there's one scene where Kiki Stewart and Jodie Foster having dinner or whatever. And it's like,
great casting, by the way.
Jodie Foster.
They look so much alike.
They do. Jodie Foster. Here's where she puts her cell phone to charge for the night. Here's where Kristen Stewart, here's where her diabetes, her insulin is.
Her special fridge.
Here's a bunch of little things that you're going to have to know that are all going to come back later. And it's just like, bam, 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 25 minutes. Here's the geography of the house. Here's all the things that are going to come into play later in the house. And then here come the robbers. Let's go. And I love this dynamic.
And the robbers are very distinct. It's a great, they all have their own special character. There's Dwight Yoakam.
Raul.
There's Jared Leto.
Who are you? I'm Raul.
I also have to say, quick note, I remember when I first saw the movie, I was so jealous of Kristen Stewart getting to have a little fridge in her room. Not that I wanted, obviously I don't want diabetes, but I was just so jealous, like, to have that little fridge with all those little treats inside. Yeah. Ugh, so jelly. Okay.
Yeah. I love this dynamic. I love this dynamic in movies. This is incredibly on display in Panic Room. Other movies, I can't think of this example, but I know it exists. One bad guy refuses to hurt the innocent people. I don't hurt innocent people. Another bad guy fucking loves hurting innocent people. That's Raul. Mm. That's Dwight Yoakam. He's here because the other guy is too soft. And if it needs to be hurting someone or getting the $1 million, he's going to hurt someone. And then the one bad guy in the middle who's got to keep him apart. He's got to keep him apart. He's the Joker, baby.
You need a Joker. He's the clown. He's the in Commedia dell'arte.
Il buffone.
It all comes back. Yeah. Philip G in the chat says, it all leads back to Unfrosted.
No.
Wrong. It all leads back to Commedia dell'arte. Yeah.
It all leads back to ancient Greece. You plebeian.
Well, you had a great time watching those films at a theater. Me, there was one movie I was really looking forward to watching, and I watched it last night. It's called Scoop.
It is not the 2003 Woody Allen film by the same name, starring Hugh Jackman and Scarlett Johansson. Yeah.
It's a very forgotten film, except for Brett and I.
I apologize, ScarJo 2006. And Hugh Jackman. I apologize, 2006, yeah.
Tennis movie.
No, that is...
Right?
No, that's Match Point. That's Match Point with
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Yeah, and ScarJo. That's like one of his greater late period ones. This is like... He's like a magician or like a tarot card
reader.
She's
the journalist.
Something like that. Yeah. I did see Scoop in theaters. I did see Scoop.
I did too.
You put it in the Discord. Sign up for the Hey Julie Discord. By the way, I'm watching Scoop tonight. And I was like, what the fuck is Scoop? You're watching a 20-year-old Woody Allen movie? Why? And not a good one?
No. So the real Scoop is this 2024 film, Netflix film, about... And I was like, this movie, this event is like... Every year we do our best and worst of the year, and all every year so far, the worst has been the British. And this movie is making a gun for the British being on the worst of 2024. Again. Because this, so this movie is about Prince Andrew, who is like famously a pervert, like famously friends with Jeffrey Epstein. Oh, he's
the Epstein guy. Yeah.
Okay. Epstein. He's friends with him, and like all these pictures came out of him being friends with him, him at the parties. Like he's his best friend essentially.
Yeah.
And all this news came out around the time Epstein killed himself, quotation marks. Cannot believe that hasn't been solved. But anyway, they, for whatever fucking reason, the Royal Palace is like, you know what we should do? We should let, Prince Andrew go on a news show, like have an entire, like the 60 minutes of Britain and just like talk about it. Like to prove he's so innocent. He's so innocent. He should go talk about it for an hour on this show.
British PR. British PR having a great like 10 years.
Oh my God.
The most famous woman in the world, a lovely woman. She has cancer and 3 young children. Let's lie about wherever the fuck she's been for the last 6 months and put out bad Photoshop instead of just say, hey, poor girl's got cancer. Leave her the fuck alone. Like, iconic. Iconic. Well, British.
The lead up of this movie.
For the royals.
The thing about this movie is the lead up to it, I thought this was like going to be like a Frost Nixon-esque movie because I don't remember this interview. I think this was a huge deal in Britain, but I really don't remember this interview happening at all. But so the trailers and stuff had led me to believe that this was going to be like, it's such a huge interview to get. Like once we got him, you got to pin him down. Like don't let him get away with anything, blah, blah, blah. The interview, it's actually kind of an underwhelming movie because the interview, I guess famously, he just comes on and is like, yeah, I was friends with him. Like, just talks for an hour about like, yeah, I was friends with him, but like not in the way you think. But yes, I was friends with him. Yes, I did go to that dinner. Yes, I was at this party. Like, he's just like for an hour is like, yeah, I'm a fucking idiot and a pedophile, essentially.
What the fuck?
And like, but what's, I guess the crazy part is like, during the interview, like the Queen's PR person is there and his personal PR person is there. And the crazy thing is just like, as he's doing the interview, it's a taped interview. It's not live. Mm-hmm. The journalists and the BBC people are like, holy shit. Like he's just going on the record saying this stuff. Like she doesn't even have to, like, there's no gotcha. There's no, it's not Frost Nixon. It's not like this debate or trying to pin anyone down. It's literally him just saying all this stuff. They're like, what a fucking idiot. Like, how could he do this? The royal people are all like, wow. He did a great job. Isn't he so charming?
Again. Yeah,
and so then the interview airs and they're all like, oh, people didn't like that. It's like, it was crazy. So it was like a very strange, it's strange to watch as someone who like, yeah, does not remember that interview and seeing what the reaction and the lead up to it was. It's just like, wow, the Brits, they're making a case. Not all of Britain, but like these British people, the royals, worst of 2024.
I have a question. To actually bring it back.
Yes. Yes.
Prince Andrew. Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein.
Yeah.
Pedos.
Yeah.
Woody Allen.
Mm-hmm. Pedo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they call the movie Scoop as like a callback to reference like, hey, also, he wasn't involved, but Woody Allen, think about him too.
I think it's just like a journalistic term.
Movies could have infinite names. As many words there are in the English language, combine them.
They should have called it Randy Andy Tells All. Yeah.
Yeah. They could have called it anything. Why did they call it the same thing as a Woody Allen movie from 18 years ago?
Listen, Brett is connecting the web. He's Madam Web.
I'm Madam Web.
He's putting it all together.
Madam Web. Madam Web in Social Network as well for a scene.
Oh.
Okay. Young Dakota Johnson. Yeah. She's in the scene with Justin Timberlake. Yes.
Of course.
So the movie wasn't good.
Beautiful Women.
Oh, okay. Oh.
No, it was good. It was good-ish. It was just surprising. It was not what I expected. I really thought it was going to be like this back and forth, like intense. I love journalistic movies. I love like newsy movies. I really thought it was going to be like this battle of the minds on live TV. Because you just would think that the fucking 6-year-old prince would have better media training and be better at this, but he really was bad. So it was just like this slam dunk. It was just like watching someone get dunked on. So, it was fine.
Okay.
It's fine. Speaking of beautiful women and their
gorgeous
louse husbands,
gorgeous
ex-husbands. Yes. Sasha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher divorced. It's in your name. Borat's wife, no more.
She's no longer his wife.
Yeah. What? That was a surprising. I mean, that was a shocker to me. I thought they were going to stay together forever.
I think I just was very surprised. This news broke yesterday. First of all, they announce it in like one of the most
on her story.
Bonkers Instagram like story. Instagram story things, because it's like a photo of them like at Halloween or something like that. Some sort of costume party where they're dressed up as like they're playing tennis together, and they're like, after 20 years, like playing the match, this doubles pair is calling it quits. We're passing down our rackets and getting divorced.
And now that's it's the scoop. Like, match point.
What? Tennis?
Yeah.
Like Borat playing tennis? But then I think what also happened immediately was everyone was horny in the chat for Isla Fisher. They're just like,
yeah, of course.
She's single?
I hope she's... Well,
she's single? I'm going to go to the gym and get a haircut. I'm going to dress like Borat. Because I don't know. Like, either way, I need to get a date.
She's very beautiful, but she's also like incredibly talented as a comedic actress. I feel like she was really on the rise. And then, I don't know, she wasn't in as much after she got married to him. So I kind of hope that this means a career resurgence for her, because I just remember she was like a breakout star from Wedding Crashers. Yeah. She was like, she was starting to lead. She was like the lead of Confessions of a Shopaholic. Like, she was starting to get those roles, but then they got married and she's kind of took a back seat. So I'm hoping this means she was, of course, who could forget? She did play the third lead in Now You See Me. Now You See Me Again. Now You See Me Too.
So, they should have called it Now You See Me Again.
Yeah, but they didn't. And they should have called the third one Now You Three Me, but they didn't. So, listen, Hollywood, come calling. Anyway, love her. Hope she's doing well.
Wish her the best.
The only other thing I want to shout out. I don't think I sent you this trailer. There's a trailer for this movie called Cuckoo, starring the hit maker, the star maker, Euphoria's own Hunter Schafer.
Ooh, okay.
It's this movie called Cuckoo. It's a horror movie. And she stars in it. And then Dan Stevens plays like some freak.
Dan Stevens.
Nay, Downton Abbey. Dan Stevens left Downton Abbey at like the height of its success. And I think everyone was like, you idiot. And now I'm like, Dan Stevens made the best move. He's so great. He's a delight.
Have you seen The Guest?
Every time he pops up in a movie, you're happy. Yes, I have.
The Guest is good.
So good.
Yeah, he left Downton Abbey. He's like, I'm going to be an American movie star. I'm going to play like cowboys and murderers in America with my horrible American accent. And he came
and
over.
The Beast and Beauty and the Beast.
Like, I don't have a good American accent. And they're like, cool, why don't you star in this weird horror movie called The Guest? Which is a good movie, despite how weird his American accent is. And then he was like, The Beast, all CGI. I didn't see that movie, but CGI Beast in that one. And that's it. I saw him at the Magic Castle with Jason Sudeikis and Will Forte one night. And I could tell Sudeikis and Stevens were like broing out, and like I could tell that it wasn't looking good for Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde, because it seemed that Sudeikis was there with a date and it was not the director of
Don't worry, darling.
I was gonna say now you don't see me or something like that. Now You See Me stuck in my head.
That's what the second one, it should have been called Now You Don't. That's what now it you been don't called, the second one.
Now You See, or it should be called Now You See Me 2 T-O-O.
Yeah, that's what I said already.
No, you didn't.
I just said. Yes, I did. Sound off in the chat. Did I say that already? I think I did.
Listen to this podcast again. Scrub backwards.
I don't think we have any questions or comments.
I have a question. We have a question in the Discord, but I'm going to ask you. You know, I'll ask the Discord question first because it's pop culture related. I have a earth sciences question for you later in the show. Bat Hot in the Discord. Since I know Danny and Brett both love Jessica Chastain and possibly Michael Shannon, I will editorialize. You don't have to use the word possibly there.
Oh my God.
Any number thoughts one crush on their Showtime miniseries last year, George and Tammy? I feel like the only person who even knew what happened. Danielle, answer his thoughts.
So thank you. First of all, Michael Shannon is my number one crush. I saw him in Brooklyn twice when I lived there, and I like made an Instagram story about it. I was so obsessed. He was tall and he was yelling at traffic, which I loved. Oh, he has like this intense energy.
What was he yelling at? Yelling at cars like a dog?
Yeah, he was yelling at cars. Because they weren't like, you know, in New York, like they don't, they just keep at rush hour. You they do, just keep driving even though it's a red light.
You do yell at cars when you live in New York. You do just yell at them. You're like, what the fuck are you doing at a car? It's great.
Exactly. It was, it was hot. And then he was in the audience when we saw Parasite in Brooklyn in Cobble Hill Cinemas.
Did you love it?
I mean, we got up before they were like, he was like sitting and stewing once it was over. Like we got right up, but he was like, wait, he was artist. Like letting it wash over him.
Artist.
Yeah, he's an artist.
Also,
so hot, so hot.
movie stars, they love to watch the full credits.
Oh yeah, they pay their respects.
Mm-hmm. I grew up, when I was, my first job in high school, I worked at a movie theater in my neighborhood, and the god, Gary Sinise, lived around. when I worked at the movie theater, I'd see like Gary Sinise like once a week, like coming to the movies. Yeah. And my stupid job, because I was 16 and worthless, was cleaning up popcorn with a broom.
You really are a film boy from the very beginning.
And you would wait outside of the theater until everyone left the theater. Even if there was one person there, we wouldn't start cleaning up until they left. And sometimes like, come on, I got to clean this. I got to turn this theater. We got a new showing of Spider-Man 2 coming down.
Yeah.
But Gary Sinise always stayed. And I was like, you know what, Gary Sinise? It's a good move. That's a respectful, respectful move. And he'd like say thank you and be like
beloved.
Oh, good guy.
I think Gary's beloved. Yeah. Back to the question. I actually did watch the first episode of Tammy. What is it called? George and Tammy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched the first episode and I didn't like it, unfortunately. So I didn't keep watching. I don't like Showtime shows. There's something in the water at Showtime. Yeah. They take even the most exciting idea with the best cast. I'm also thinking of On Being a God in Central Florida, that Kirsten Dunst show.
Yeah.
I tried watching that show so many times because I love Kirsten Dunst and I love the idea of like a scam, like being usurped or being like someone rising the ranks in a scam, an MLM. It was bad. I don't know what's up with Showtime. They have great ideas, but they all get ruined somehow.
Yeah. Well, they don't know when to cancel things. They they seem a little bit undercooked. And I was going to say this, well, they're literally now the same company now. They're part of Paramount. It's like, they are like the CBS version of like prestige pay cable thing. Like there's something a little bit like CBS procedural-y about it, whereas HBO's got the polish. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't think, I'll just be honest, I don't really like Jess Chastain as much as the vibe of this podcast or the history of this podcast portrays. Famous Molly's Game hater, Brett Rader.
How could you not like her though? As an actress, she's just like so good.
She's very good, but she has a Hathaway about her. You can tell she's just trying a little bit too hard, which is why people don't like Hathaway.
I really think she's so good.
I can't tell with Hathaway either. At some point, we're running out of time, but we need to talk about Hathaway at some point in the coming weeks.
We'll talk about her when the movie, because I'm going to watch the movie. Don't worry. Danny's going to be seated with her popcorn. And let me tell you, everyone's going to bed except me. I'm watching it alone.
You're going to have the Dune 2 bucket.
Yeah, I sure am. We got to ask me your question. What's your question?
Danielle, Tuesday, you live in Toronto. You live in the path. Are you going to watch the eclipse, Danielle?
Isn't it on Monday?
Something like that. It's Monday. Yeah, you're right. It's the 8th. I had no idea what day it was. Are you watching the eclipse?
On Monday. Well, I don't have the special glasses, so probably not. I'll probably just stay inside.
See, underwhelming, but here's my deal. You live there.
Yeah.
I live in LA. We're getting a very partial eclipse. We're not in it. I feel the same way. People say, are you going to watch the eclipse? No. First of all, two things. I don't have the glasses. I'm not buying the glasses.
Yeah.
You're going to watch it. I'm going to watch a video of it on YouTube like an hour after it happens. Anyways, I'll watch it there. We have to, as a society, we have to figure out what we mean when we say once in a generation eclipse.
Right, because this happened recently in Trump's
era. Every time an eclipse happens, they're like, this is not going to happen until the year 3299. This is not going to happen again. This is not going to happen again until your grandchildren's grandchildren are like, oh. And yet there's an eclipse like every 4 years. So like, what is it? I know it's like, oh, well, this is a lunar eclipse. This is not a solar eclipse. This is a partial whatever eclipse. Okay, if this is it, I do not want to see another eclipse the rest of my life. Maybe you and I have lived in a time of many eclipses all happening over the last 35 years, and now there's none that are going to happen for the next 400 years. But they better stick to that. If it's like 2027 and they're like, oh, an eclipse is coming, I'm going to be upset.
Yeah, is it going to be like really bright outside? Or is it going to be dark outside? Oh, it's going to get really dark. Okay. I haven't done enough research. I know it's happening. It's actually not even going to be that good in Toronto. Supposedly, it's going to be the best in Niagara. And my husband was like, should we go to Niagara? But
that's like an hour away from you.
I don't think we're going to go. It's going to be really crowded. Silent Giant 92 said, the grocery store I work at had free pairs of glasses sponsored by Coca-Cola. SponCon.
Maybe I'll go to the supermarket.
Yeah, I think you can get them for free. I think you can get them for free. I have to look more into it. I can't say it's been at the top of my priorities. Yeah, but yeah. I'm so excited for it. You know, I do stan a solar eclipse. Let's go. I'll get really excited for it Sunday night. But thank you for that question, Brett.
Of course. Anything earth sciences, you know, astronomy related, I'm happy to, I really want to bring to the show.
As a Leo, you would.
You're a Leo.
Thank you. Yeah, I know I am a Leo. Thank you all for your questions and comments. And I really have to say, shout out to everyone in the Discord, most especially Spicy Marco, who's been leaving out of context Big Brother Canada clips at a rapid pace, but they're all actually so funny.
If you do really not funny. Watch Big Brother Canada 12, I believe is the season now. Someone's corrected me because I called it other numbers before. Highly recommend joining the Discord. These clips are bizarre.
It's better than watching the show.
There was a clip from a what seemed to be either a HOH or a veto competition that was disgusting. Truly foul. Disgusting.
And like, why is this allowed on TV?
At the same time, I said, this is the kind of shit that US Big Brother is watching. This is disgusting. I hate watching this. Also, they need to put this competition in US Big Brother immediately.
So thank you to our Discord and Spicy Marco. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week. You can follow us, Hey Julie BB, on Twitter. You can still do that. Yeah. I forgot to say that. You can email us, heyjuliebigbrother@gmail.com. And we'll be back next week.
Yeah.
If we haven't been burned alive by the solar eclipse. No,
we're going to be frozen to death by the shadow of the moon.
Oh, yeah. The shadow. Oh, the dark of the moon. Bye, Julie.
Bye, Julie.